Today's shir is Masechet Ksubos Daf Yud, and we will begin on Daf Yud Amud Aleph, the first words. Our Gemara continues in discussing the subject that we discussed in the previous shir, Pesach Pesuach. If one comes with a claim that his wife is not a psula, not because there was no dam, but rather because he found that it was Pesach Pesuach, is he believed or not? Itma Amar Rav Nachman Amishmul, Mishum Rav Shim Ben Elazar, Chachom Tekn Lam Lebnois Yisrael, Chazal were the ones that instituted for Jewish women the psula. If the girl, when she gets married, is a psula, she should be entitled to masayim, 200 mana as a payment for a ksuba. Ula mana, for a mana, they instituted that she gets mana. Vehem heminua, and at the same time, they were the ones that said, Shem Amar, Pesach Pesuach Matzasi Neman. That if he says that she's not a psula, it's a Pesach Pesuach, he should be trusted. Ask the Gemara Mekir Ma'ahu Chacham B'Takantam. The entire purpose, as we've said, of a ksuba is Shleitei Kala Be'en of Leitzio. It shouldn't be easy to get divorced. The husband should recognize that there are serious financial repercussions involved in a divorce. So if so, that he could be trusted, and based on what he says, as we learned at the end of the shir, he doesn't have to remain married to her. He won't have to pay a ksuba to her. So what's the point? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rava, Chazaka ein adam tarech b'sudam afsida. A person will not go through the bother of making a wedding if he didn't intend to stay married to her. And therefore, if he says it, it must be true. And as the Rishonim point out, the Gemara seems to be saying two different reasons why the husband is believed. On one hand, the Gemara is saying, because the entire concept of ksuba is the Rabbanon. On the other hand, the Gemara is saying the reason is, because Chazaka ein adam tarech b'sudam afsida. So what is the reason he's believed? So the answer is, it's really a combination. Since the entire concept of ksuba is only the Rabbanon, and combined with the concept that it's only with the Rabbanon, there's also Chazaka ein adam tarech b'sudam afsida. That's why if he says it, we believe him. So why wouldn't we believe him if it was a deraisa? If we have this chazaka, that a person will not have gone through the bother of marrying a wife if he didn't really want to be married to her, so even by a deraisa. So the Rishonim say that whenever we deal with the issue of deraisa, and a woman is entitled to ksuba mideraisa, if we were to say that, and so you are going to learn soon, to take away that right is not that easy. And we have to be 100% certain that it's true. Just based on a chazaka, then ein adam tarech b'sudam afsida is not enough of a reason to believe him and make her lose the ksuba. Another pshat that I saw from the Sefer Yelos Ahuvim, very nice pshat. If the ksuba is deraisa, the value is 8 times more than if the ksuba is midrabanan. So, what's this person's thinking? By saying that's pesach pesuach, he'll save the value of the ksuba. So if it's a ksuba drabonon, it's not that much money. So why would he lie? What's he going to gain? But if the value of the ksuba is so much as he wants to remain married, and as much as he spent money on the ksuba, as much as he spent money on the wedding, it's worth lying to save the money of the ksuba. The Rishonim make a number of very important points here. One point they make is that even though we're saying chazaka ein adam tarech b'sudam afsida, and a person would not lie to say it's pesach pesuach unless it was true, that's only if he comes immediately after the wedding. They got married, and then he comes and says pesach pesuach, and must be saying he's true. But let's say he's married for a while, and then he says it, so then we could say that maybe he just decided that he doesn't like her, and that's why he wants out, and then he wouldn't be believed. Furthermore, there's a machloikus rishonim. When we say that the person is believed, in what situation is he believed? For as we learned in the previous year, sometimes when he says Pesach Pesuach, it requires that they get divorced. If she was a girl that was under 3 when she became Mureses, or if he's a Kayin. So then for sure he's believed, because the repercussions are quite serious. They're going to have to get divorced. But what's going to be the halacha, asked the Rishonim? Well, they're not going to have to get divorced. In a normal situation, as we explained in the previous year, it's a sfek sfeika. They don't have to get divorced. So here, what's he gaining by saying Pesach Pesuach? He diminishes the value of the ksuba from 200 zuz to 100 zuz. Is he going to be believed then? Or then maybe he's not going to believe because he gets to keep his wife and pay less. So Taisha says then he wouldn't be believed. Because, of course, he's saying it because he has the best of both worlds. Other Rishonim say that even under those circumstances, he's believed. Similarly, there's a Machloikas Rishonim. When he is believed, and therefore he doesn't have to pay the Ksuba, what does that mean? Is he believed only? We know that in the Ksuba, there are two parts. There's the Ikka Ksuba, which the Gemara just described, 200 zuz for psula, 100 mana for almana. Is that the part he's believed for? Or is the part that he's believed for even for the Tosfos Ksuba? We know that the husband, we'll discuss it more later in the Masechta, can add, is he believed even for that part? Machloikas Rishonim, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that he's only believed on the Ikka Ksuba, he's not believed on the extra part. Now we have an interesting Shaila. The Gemara says here, Chazaka ein adam terech besuda mafsida. Why is he believed? Because if he didn't want to marry her, he shouldn't have made the wedding. What would be the halacha if he didn't pay for the wedding? So there's no chazaka that he wouldn't have made the wedding. He didn't pay for it. The kalasai paid for it. So most Rishonim say, it's strictly in a situation where he paid for the wedding. So that's when we have a chazaka that if he didn't want to be married to her, he wouldn't have gone through the bother and the cost of making a wedding. If she made the wedding, then there's no chazaka. The Meiri disagrees. The Meiri says that this chazaka is in place under all circumstances, even if he didn't pay for the wedding. However, the Shulchan Aruch says it's certainly the chazaka is only in place when he paid for the wedding, and therefore the Taz says the minig became that the kalasai pays for the wedding. Because the only reason the chassan is believed is because you're going to say, if he says pesach pesuach, we have a chazaka in adam terech besuda mafsida. But if he doesn't pay for the wedding, he won't be believed when he says pesach pesuach. That's why the kalasai pays for the wedding. The Taz says that. There's an interesting Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rid says, going back to the old times, when he paid for the wedding, so we're saying now that he's believed, chazaka in adam terech besuda mafsida. So now the Tosfos Rid quotes a Bahag, a Baal Hilchos Gedolos, could he go back to her and say, now I want you to pay for the wedding cost? I pay for the wedding under the assumption you're a psula. You're not a psula. I'm believed to say you're not a psula. Now pay me back for all my cost of the wedding. So he quotes a Baal Hilchos Gedolos that says, yes, he has a right to demand back the wedding cost. However, the Tosfos Rid himself says that can't be. He says it's one thing not to have to pay the ksuba, because she never had that money. So because he's believed, he doesn't have to take that money out of his pocket to give her. But money that she should have to compensate him, that the Gemara never suggested he would have to do. Continues the Gemara. Tana, says a Braisa, Hoyel v'knas chachamahu, since a ksuba is a fine from the chachamim, v'tigba elman azaburius. The halach is, we know, the Gemara discusses this many times, and Baba Kama, that there are three types of field. Idyas, the better fields, Beinonis is average, and Zaburius is poor quality. Says the Gemara, since the concept of Ksuba is only a Knas Chachamit, when she collects it only from Zaburius. Ask the Gemara, the Braisa is calling it a Knasa, my Knasa. What's the fine? What was done wrong that a Knas is in place? El Eima. So the Gemara, the way to understand the Braisa is, Hoyel v'takonas chachamahu, since the entire concept of ksuba is only midrabanan, that's why like tikba elamin is aborious, it's only collected from the poor quality field. Shimon Gamliel Oimer, ksubas ishim in atayra. The ksuba is a deraisa. And since ksuba is a deraisa, so the way that we show him explain, by right, the aloch is that whenever we collect something that is a the Raisa obligation, you collect from the Idjis. However, even, say the Rishonim, if we'll hold that a Ksubiz Medaraisa, we only collect from Beninus. Again, why? Because we want that husbands should want to marry wives. If they're going to be put into a situation that their best real estate is going to be mortgaged to the Ksuba, nobody's going to want to get married. That's why Chazal, even if they hold it to the Raisa, said you'd only collect from Beninus. Ask the Gemara, Omiyam Rav Shimon Gamliel Hachi, does Rav Shimon Gamliel hold that the Ksuba is the Raisa for Tanya? The Pasuk says, regarding someone who seduced a girl, Kesev Yishkal Kamara Psulis. He has to pay a fine, the same amount that a Psul is entitled to. Shehezek Kamara Psulis, Omar Psulis Kazeh. This amount that's paid to this girl, or to a father, who was seduced is the same amount as the amount that the psula is entitled to, and the psula is entitled to similar to this. This is the reason Chazal said, because the pasuk clearly says there is a concept of Mayer Hapsulas. So the Rishonim ask, if this is the proof that a ksub is the raisa, what does the Gemara say, mikan samchu chachamim? It should said, mikan ksub the raisa. It's not samchu chachamim. So some say the pasuk isn't really explicit. So really, the way we know the ksub is midaraisa is halach l'mosh m'sinai. The pasuk is only in a smachta. That's why the Gemara uses the word samchu chachamim. Another pshat that I saw is that the pasuk doesn't really talk about the details of the ksuba. It tells us that there's a concept of ksuba, but how do I know all the details of Hilchas ksuba? That we need the Chachamim to tell us. Ask Rabbi Chanan Vassman, if we're learning ksuba from the psula who was seduced, the halacha is that a psula seduced has to have two requirements that she should be entitled to the fine. One is that she has to be a psula, but the other point is that she could only be a nara from 12 to 12 and a half. But we know, as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, that even a girl who's a begeris above 12 and a half, as long as she's a psula, all our wives are entitled to a ksuba, the ksuba of a psula. So how can we say that we learn it from pitui? Answers Rabbi Chanan, these are two separate halachas. The halacha of psula is one halacha, the halacha of nara is a separate halacha. And we're learning the halacha of ksuba from the psula part of it, not from the age part of it. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, we continue the braisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, holds ksuba isha ena b'divrei Torah. A ksuba is not the raisa el divrei seifrim. So here we have clearly Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that a ksuba is midrabanan. Says the Gemara epach. We have to reverse the opinion. It's Rav Shimon Gamliel who holds that ksuba is the raisa. It's the rabbanan who hold that's the rabbanan. Ask the Gemara, Umay Chazdav Chispes Raisa, why are we reversing the opinions in this Raisa? Having Rav Shimon Gamliel holding that Iksub is the Raisa, and the Rabbanon holding it's the Rabbanon, perhaps Epech Kamaisa, and we'll have Rav Shimon Gamliel holding that Iksub is the Rabbanon, and Chacham holding that it's the Raisa, says the Gemara, the reason we do this is because our Shemina letter of Shimon Gamliel, because we have another place that we have proof that Rav Shimon Gamliel holds Domek Subas Ishim Adaraisa. That's not. There's a Mishnah we're going to learn towards the end of the Masechta Mitzvashem. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Noisen Lama Mois Kaputkia. The Mishnah discusses there the following situation. A man married a woman in Eretz Yisrael, but they got divorced in Kaputkia. So what type of money do they have to give? So everybody agrees, since they got married in Eretz Yisrael, they give Israeli shkolim, not American dollars. But if they got married in Kaputkia, and they got divorced in Eretz Yisrael, he gives, since they got divorced in Eretz Yisrael, they give Israeli money. And Rav Shimon Gamliel, he gives her Kaputkia money. Even though they got divorced in Eretz Yisrael. So as Tosfos explains, the Gemara doesn't mean that let's say Ksub is 200 mana, that in America we give him $200, and in Israel we give him 200 shekel. Of course, that's not fair, because 200 shekel is worth a lot less than $200. What the Gemara means to say is the value is always the same. The value is always the same. However, there are currencies that are more popular, that are more easy to do business with than other currencies. The shekel is not as popular as the dollar. So Shimon Gamliel holds that we use the American dollar, which is, again, just for us to understand, which is a more popular currency than the shekel. So we see that obviously Rav Shimon Gamliel considers the ksuba deraisa. So that's why we have to say it's Rav Shimon Gamliel that holds the ksuba deraisa. Vibay Seima, another way is that there's really no machlokes. The braisa that we quoted only represents the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. But the way to understand the braisa is as follows. Kula Rav Shimon Gamliel, the ksur mechsev akhtani. B'kach sam chachamim, from the pasuk of Kesav Yishka Kamayel Psulais, b'kach sam chachamim, this is the basis that the chacham taught us, l'ksubas ishim v'natayra, which ksuba? The ksuba of a psula. However, the ksubas amana, the ksuba of amana, even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel will agree, is ainam adivrei Torah, is not mederaisa, Elam Adivrei Seifrim. That even he agrees is only Midrabanan. Sheru Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Ksuba Samana, Enem Adivrei Torah, Elam Adivrei Seifrim. So we have a machloikis. Is the Ksuba Midaraisa, Umidrabanan? Most Rishonim hold that we hold that the Ksuba is the Rabbanan. There are Rishonim that ask, that say that the Ksuba is the Raisa. But we hold it's the Rabbanan. In fact, Tosfos asks a question. If we say that the Ksuba is the Rabbanan, if we ever listen to the Nusach of the Ksuba, we say, Kesef Ma'asen, the Chazi Lechi Midai Raisa. But if we say that the Ksuba is the Rabbanan, what's Pshat that we say, the Chazi Lechi Midai Raisa? And in fact, if we look at the Nusach of the Ksuba of the Sfaradim, they don't have the words, the Chazi Lechi Midai Raisa. To the degree that I saw certain Sfad, the Shepaiskim say that if such a ksuba is used, it's an apostle ksuba. It's invalid. It's not true. We that do use the ksubas, Ashkenazic Jews, how do we say that? So Taisa says that what it means to say is the chazil chi midaraisa means that midaraisa, we use the raisa diga type of silver, but not that the ksuba is a raisa diga obligation, it's only the rabbonim diga obligation. The Gemara goes back to our subject of Pesach Pesuach. Ha'uz Dosel Kamed Rav Nachman. There was an individual who came to Rav Nachman. Amalei Pesach Pesuach Mitzasi. My wife wasn't a virgin. Amalei Rav Nachman, Azvua Kafri. We should give him Malkus. We should give him Pech. Mechabchosel Chavitalei. He obviously, how does he know what is a Besula, what is a Bula? He must have had immoral relationship with prostitutes. This is the way Rashi explains. So asked, that means we trust him, but we give him Malkus because obviously he's engaged in immoral behavior. Ask the Gemara, Rav Nachman Hudam Mehemen. Rav Nachman says, as we started today's shir, that anybody that walks in and says Pesach Pesuach is believed, and Rav Nachman never made any mention about him getting Malkus. Says the Gemara, we're not changing anything. Mehemen, who has been like Kufri. Malkus he gets. Trust him, we trust him. One has nothing to do with the other. We'll trust when he says he's not a psula, but we also give him Malkus because obviously he had this experience which is inappropriate. Ask the Rishonim, if we're going to give him Malkus, isn't that going to prevent him from coming? And we want him to come because if his wife had an adulterous relationship, he's not allowed to remain with her. So what are we giving him Malkus to keep him away? Say to Rishonim that if somebody is convinced that his wife is also, that she had adulterous relationship, the fact that he's going to get Malkus is not going to keep him away. He's going to come anyway, and that's why we trust him, and Malkus we give him. Ravachi, and again, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, differentiates. Kamba Bocher, Kamba Nossi. A man that was married previously, that has the experience, that knows if he's a Pesach Pesuach, is trusted. And that's the man Rav Nachman referred to. Our Gemara is referring to a Bocher. How do you know what's a Pesach Pesuach? Such a man is indeed not trusted to say Pesach Pesuach. Says the Gemara, Ha'udasul kamed Rav Gamliel. There was an individual who came to Rav Gamliel, Omlei Pesach Pesuach Matzasi. It was a Pesach Pesuach. Omlei Shemehi Tisa. Maybe you did the Bia on an angle that's why you didn't feel the Psulim. Em Shalchal Meshul Ma'a Davidoyma. I'll give you the following example. A person's walking in the dark. Hita matzah pasach, lo hita matzah no. Which means as follows. We know, if you want to open a door, so if there's nothing behind the door, you could open the doorway all the way. If there's something behind the door, you could only open the door at an angle. Now let's say it's dark. So if the door's not open all the way, so that doesn't mean you can't go in through the door. You may just be lucky to walk in at the angle that the door is open. And that's exactly what happened here. Not that he intentionally did bia, not to break the psulim, but the way he did the bia, it turned out that he came in without touching the psulim. Ikadamri, hachamalei, shema b'mezer hetisa. Maybe you did bia with a lot of force, the kata l'dash of abra, and you broke the lock without even realizing. A person is walking in the dark. So let's say somebody's walking in the dark and he wants to know where the doorway is. So what does he do? He walks along the wall and he extends against the wall, and then when he'll get to the doorway, he'll just fall in. Here too, you just fell in by being by bending, we're doing it forth. If he bends down, he'll be able to enter the door. And that's what happened here, and that's why, without recognizing, the woman was indeed a basula, but you didn't realize it. So there's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim in understanding this Gemara. In which situation did he have this conversation with Rav Gamliel? Some rishonim learn, as we started this year, that the Gemara here is referring to a case where he was married to a regular woman. So as we learned in the previous year, he is allowed to stay with her even if it's Pesach Pesuach, because there's a Sfek Sveka that allows them to remain married. But still the man is not comfortable. He thought he was marrying a Pesula, and she's not. So this is the way Rav Gamliel was trying to calm him down. But if he indeed was married to a woman, like we said at the beginning of the shir, he's a Kohen, or he's married to a girl that the Erisin was when she was less than 3 years old, using these excuses will not allow them to remain married. That's how some Rishonim learn. Other Rishonim say that Rav Gamliel was trying to make him think. And maybe he was indeed in a situation that there were really psulim, but there were outside reasons that he didn't see them, and therefore even if he was married as a kohen, or he was married to a girl who was less than 3 years old, he would be allowed to stay with her. Continues the Gemara. Hudas l'kamed Rav Gamliel. By Rabbi, Amalei be'alti v'lo mitzasi dam. I did bia, and there was no dam. Amalei, Rabbi, besula yisi. This girl says, it's not true, I was a besula. Amalei, havilu oisus sudar. Bring me the sheet that they laid on. Havilu sudar, so they brought him the sheet. V'sharu b'mayim, he soaked it in water. V'chipsu, and then he washed it. U'matzalav kamati p'damim. And he found, indeed, there was some dam, which is a clear proof that she was a besula. What had happened was that the shikva zera had covered the dam, and by washing the sheet, he got the shikva zera off, and he saw the dam. Amalei, lech zakev mechecha. Your wife is a psula. Everything is fine. Amalei, hunamabere de rovim prazikular of ashi. Anan namit navit hachi. If such a situation were to come to us, we'll do the same. We'll wash the sheet, and hopefully find some dam. Amalei, so he said to him, if you'll recall, when we learned the Gemara in Masechta Tainus, the Gemara in Masechta Tainus that discusses laundering says that laundering in Israel and Eretz Yisrael was a lot better than laundering in Chutz Laaretz. Some say because the water in Eretz Yisrael is stronger. Others say because the detergents in Eretz Yisrael were more potent. So it says in Eretz Yisrael, you accomplish a very good cleaning just by using soap and water. In Bavel, that's not enough. You have to do giyutz. Giyutz means that they used to take such stones and rub, and that's how they got the stain off. So just following what was done in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel won't attain the same results. Ask the Gemara, v'yamid na'ed giyutz. Fine. Just doing laundry in Israel and Bavel is not enough, because the water and the detergents aren't strong enough. So let's add the stones and let's rub them. Answer the Gemara, that won't do. Because Mabar Lechumrsa, since you're rubbing with the stone may rub off the dam. And therefore, in Bavel, this approach of trying to wash off and seeing the dam won't work. It's interesting to note that the Paiskim use this Gemara to teach us that if somebody brings a Mara, a sheet or something to a Rav, to Paskin, if there's a problem, how careful the Rav has to be to look for little specks of blood. Because here we see how there were specks of blood that were easily covered, how careful you have to be to look for every speck. Continues the Gemara. Hudasul kamed Rav Gamliel by Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe be alti v'loi mitzasi dam. Again, I did be up, and there was no dam. Amalei Rebbe, a dam b'sulani. You know why there was no dam? Because he didn't do a full-fledged bia. There was, I'm still a b'sula. And again, as Mefarshim point out, here it's very different than in the previous Gemaras. In the previous Gemaras, she said, I'm no longer a psula. Here she's saying, I'm still a psula. Amalei havi li shtei shifchas. Bring to me two maids. Achas psula and ba'ula. One is a psula and one is ba'ula. Havilu, so they brought him. V'shiva lo'a pichavish shal yayin. And they put him on a barrel of wine, open barrel of wine. Be'ula, since she has an opening, the wine penetrated her body, and Reicha Noidef, the fragrance of the wine came out of her body. Besula, who's closed, ain't Reicha Noidef. The fragrance did not penetrate and come out. Avzu, so now we see that this works. Avzu is Shivala, so now they brought this woman who claimed that she was still a Psula, and there was no fragrance of the wine coming out. Amalai, so he said, Leich Zakeh B'mechcha. It's a proof that she's still a Psula, because if she were a Be'ula, then the fragrance would be coming out of her body. Ask the Gemara, V'nichta B'kar B'gavah. Why do you have to go through this process of first bringing the Shvachos, and then bringing her? Let her straight bring the woman. Says the Gemara, Gemara have a Shmila. He had a Kabbalah that this works. Where did he have the Kabbalah that this works? For Gemara that we learned in Masechta Ksubis, Masechta Yevamos, Daf Samach, Amud Beis. The Gemara says over there, if we recall, that there was the episode of Pelegish B'Giva, where the people of Giva terribly abused a Pelegish, and Klai Yisrael went out to war with Shevet Binyamin. And then Klai Yisrael, not only did they go to war and really decimate Binyamin, they also said nobody's allowed to marry anybody from Shevet Binyamin. But then there was a concern that there won't be any remnant of Shevet Binyamin. And there was Shevet, the one of the 12 Shvatim. So they said that the people of Yavesh Gilad had not participated in that war, and they were deserving of death. But they said anyone, any woman from Yavesh Gilad, who was a Besula, was allowed to marry a man from Shevet Binyamin. But how do we know? So the way they knew was by doing this test with the barrel of wine. Gemara Havishmile. He had this Kabbalah that this test works. However, Maisaloi Havachazale. He never actually practiced it. The Sovereign, so he was concerned. Dimloi Kimle Begavada Milsa. Even though there is such a test, he doesn't know how to do it. And it's inappropriate to treat a Jewish woman by giving her the test if it's not going to work. So first he experimented. Does it work? On the Shvachos. After he saw that it works, then he did it on the Jewish woman. The Yaivetz Haver says, not to think that we're allowed to abuse Shvachos. He says that the Shvachos got compensated for being willing participants in this experiment. And Rishon also point out that we certainly have no way of knowing how to administer this test, and we can't rely on it nowadays. Continues the Gemara. Ha'ud asl kamedr gamliel hazokin. Amalei Rebbe ba'alti v'lei matzosi dam. Similar, again I did bia and there was no dam. Amalei Rebbe, you know why you didn't find dam? Mishpachas durukti ani. I come from this mishpacha durukti. Shein lo dam li de v'lei dam besulam. That we all have, they have no dam. Badak Rabbi Gamliel b'kreviseha. Rabbi Gamliel investigated with her relatives, umatza kidvareha, and he found that indeed she comes from such a family, and that's why she didn't see dam. So there's two machloikas we're showing him here. One machloikas is, in the previous cases, when the woman came and said that when the man came and said pesach pesuach, Rav Gamliel, whoever it was, checked maybe there's something else that caused there should be no dam. What is the halacha? Do we on our own initiate and ask the woman, maybe you come from a family that there is no dam? Or only if the woman on her own volunteers and says, you know, I come from such a family, do we begin to accept it? But for us to initiate and ask her, maybe you come from such a family, we wouldn't do. Moreover, there's another machlokes with Shoinim. Here the Gemara said that Gamliel went and investigated with her relatives, is this indeed a problem that this family suffers? So the question is, what's going to be halacha if there are no family members to investigate with? Do we accept what she says, or only if we indeed are able to independently assess this? Some Rishonim say, since this is so rare, it has to be independently evaluated. Others say that we only if we have the opportunity to evaluate it, so the right thing is to evaluate it. But if we can't, that doesn't mean we shouldn't believe her, and we can. And indeed it turned out that she comes out from such a family. And therefore he said, Leich sakeh b'machecho, she's fine, she's a psula. Ashrecho, she's a chiso l'mishpachas durgati. You're lucky, you came from a family where there is no dam. My durgati, what is durgati? Darketua. A woman that doesn't have blood, as we're going to see in abundance, is likely not to be able to have children. Amar Chanina, and therefore says Chanina, Tanchum shel chevel nichmu ragamlil ish. It really was nothing to make him so happy about. The Tani Reb Chia, Kshem shasar yofel itza, just like yeast is crucial to the dough because it makes the dough rise, kach dam yofel isha. A woman that has an abundance of blood is more fertile. The Tana Mishramaya, kal isha shadamem rubin, benem rubin. She'll be able to have a lot of children. Itmar, Rabbi Yirmi ba'aba mezakei b'mechecha. Rabbi Yirmi ba'aba said, you're lucky. Rabbi Yirmi amalei. Rabbi Yais ba'avin amal neschai b'mechecha amalei. He said, you're not lucky. Says the Gemara. Bishlam l'mandam neschaiv. According to mandam that says that you're not lucky. Hainad Rav Chanina. I could understand why he said it. Because he ended up marrying a woman who's not really able to have children. El l'mandam zechei. According to mandam that said that he's lucky. Mais chusa. Why he's so lucky? He's marrying a woman that can't have children. Says the Gemara, there's always a silver lining. Because she doesn't have dam, there won't be a lot of hilchas nida shaylas. So at least that's the silver lining. And as the Shita explains the Gemara, he says, the Gemara says that we're never allowed, even if a person does a bad deal, we're not supposed to go and tell him you did a bad deal. It's inappropriate. So he says, everybody agrees that what he told him was, you did a good deal. The question is, was it really a good deal or a bad deal? So one mandam said it was a good deal because there won't be shiles of hilchas nida because there's not dam. The other mandam said it's not a good deal because he's going to end up not having children. It's very interesting. I saw a tshuva for a Moshe. There was a woman, a girl, who wasn't experiencing having period. And the question was, she was of marriageable age, and was she supposed to inform potential chassanim that she has this problem? But the doctors had told her that it's very possible that once she gets married and she experiences having relations with a man, that will trigger that she should be able to have regular cycle. So Ramosha says that she's not obligated to tell her husband, to tell potential chassanim that she has this problem, because it's very possible that she will experience the cycle, as the doctor tells her. And even, says Ramosha, if she won't be a woman that will have a large family, she still very possibly will be able to have children. And therefore, she could get married without telling the chassan. However, Ramosha says, this is what Ramosha says, if they're married for 4 years, and for 4 years she won't experience having a cycle, so it's a proof that she's a woman that truly has a problem. At that point, she should get divorced and not give her husband a hard time. In divorcing her, she should just accept a get quietly because she really should have never married him. Continues the Gemara. Hu das l'kamei de Rebbe. There was a person that came to Rebbe. Amalei Rebbe ba'alti v'lei metzasi dam. I did bia and there was no dam. Amalei Rebbe adayim b'sula ha'yisi. I'm still a b'sula. However, v'shnei b'tzuras hava. It's hunger time, and because of the malnutrition, that's what's causing the problem. Raw Rebbe, and Rebbe indeed saw shepneim shcharim, their faces were black. Tziva leim v'nechnisim l'merchutz. He told him, let them go into a nice hot bathhouse. V'chila and v'ishkim, gave him to eat and drink. Mefarshim asked, what does he have to drink? She's the one that has the problem. So Mefarshim say he didn't want to make kinna. Only if she'll get to drink it, he won't. He'll be jealous. V'chnisim l'cheder, and then he took them into a room. Bol, and then Baruch Hashem motzadam. Here too we have a machlokes rishonim. Under what circumstances can we rely on this? Some rishonim say we could only rely on this in a situation where they're anyway allowed to remain married. But in a situation where they're not allowed to remain married, to go rely on this, where she may be asked them to be live together, we can't rely on it. And others say that this is such a strong proof that that's the cause for no dam, that even by a woman that we discussed should not remain married, here we could remain married. She's fine, and you can live happily ever after. Kar Rebbe Aleihem, the Pasuk says, in Eicha, Sofet Arim al Basarim, their skin hangs on the bones, Yavish Hayukaitz, and that's why they're completely dried out. When the Baruch Shem eat and they won't suffer malnutrition, they'll be perfectly fine. Says the Mishnah, Bsula Ksubas Masayim, by Bsula the Ksuba is 200 mana, Val mana, it's only a mana. Bsula Amana Grusha Vechalutsim and Erisin. If it's only Erisin and they turned into being an Amana or a Grusha, Chalutz, but she's still a Psula, therefore the Ksuba is still Masayim, and therefore the Halach is that if the husband marries her and turns out that she's not a Psula, Yeshlan Tarnis Psulim. And the Masha points out, why does the Mishnah have to mention Chalutza? Says the Masha, that I would think that since a chalutza, as we just finished learning Masechta Yevamos, doesn't have to go through a regular marriage, the Yavam just does Bia, so maybe she shouldn't be considered a Psula. Teaches us the Mishnah that if she is a Psula, she's entitled to the Ksuba of a Psula. Ask the Gemara, my Almona. What is the language of Almona? Why isn't a woman called an Almona? And as Ritva explains, by right, an Almona should be called Elaim. Elaim means quiet. Almona Nebuch is lonely. She's quiet. She has no one to speak to. What's the extra nunhei? Says the Gemara, Amr of Chanabag de Tana, Almona Ashem Mona. Because she's only entitled to Almona. So there's two ways the Rishonim explain. Either Ela Mona, her ksuba is only a mana, or al mana. We deduct a mana from her ksuba, and she only gets a mana instead of 2 manas. Ask the Rishonim, no, not Rishonim, Achroinim, how does the alman get the name alman, a man? So the Masha says, very simple, since an almana is called an almana, the male is called an alman. The Chasam Sofer says, that what does the word alman mean? Al mon. He doesn't have somebody to prepare for him. A man who has a wife, his wife takes care of him. Al, but somebody who Nebuch doesn't have a wife, al mon, he has no one to take care of him. Ask the Gemara, that's fine, but al mon min an asuin, that she loses and she only is entitled to 1 mana. However, al mon min erisin, Michael Amema, she still gets 200 zuz, 200 mana. So why is she called an al mon? Answers the Gemara. Either the her karal amana, since the amana, and then as soon as called amana, her nami karal amana. She too is called an amana. Ask the Gemara, however, amana de ksiba rais mayik lameima. The Torah uses the word amana. And as we said in Amman Aleph, everybody agrees that the ksuba of amana is only the rabbanan. So how does the Torah use the word amana? There's no concept of a ksuba by amana midaraisa. Answers the Gemara. Ask the Gemara, does Sidin Rabbanan dem sakne le mono? Answer the Gemara, I'm sorry. Does Sidin Rabbanan dem sakne le mono? The Pasuk is referring to the future. And the Torah says that the Rabbanan in one day are going to institute the concept of Ksuba, and our mono is only entitled to our mono. For the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Miksiv Krali Asid, does the Pasuk speak about the future? Says the Gemara, in. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says in Parashas Bereishis, V'shem Hanoah Ashlishis Chidekel, Hue Hoylich Kidmas Asher. The Tanner of Yosef, Asher Zuslika. Asher means the city of Slika. Is the question, Umi Havoi, did that city exist by Brias Island when the world was created? Just what does the Pasuk mean? Al Dasida, this city will come into creation. Hachanami, this concept of Almana getting an Almana, Dasida will come into situation. Vam Rav Chana, so since the Gemara defines certain words, the Gemara continues on that track. Matar, what does rain mean? Mashka, it waters. Merava, it satiates. Mezavel, it fertilizes. Umaadin, umamshka, brings shine and luster to the earth. Om Rabba Bar Shmuel, Vitem Rav Yemer Bar Shalmiya, Mikra. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Telomer Ravei, its furrows are satiated. Nachas Geduda, Berevivim Tamagat, Simcha Tavarach. By the rain coming down, it grows nice fruits. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Mizbeach. What does the word Mizbeach mean? Mezech. It takes away the tzoris from Klal Yisrael. Umezin. It brings sustenance. Mechaviv. It makes us beloved by Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mechaper. And it causes us to have forgiveness. Ask the Gemara, Hayna Mechaper, Hayna Mezeach. Taking away the tzoris is the same as being forgiven. Answers the Gemara, Mezeach Gezeris. It takes away bare decrees. Umechaper Avonis. And forgives us on our sins. The Masha says that what does the word Mizbeach stand for? Mem stands for Mechila. That through being called Mechatas and Oshem, we have a Mechila. mechilas avoinus, zchus, by bringing carbon shlomim, we have zchusim, beis is bracha, by bringing carbon oilus, we have a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and chayim, by bringing the ketores on mizbeach, we're zoicha, we become worthy of chayim. Ram Rav Chana Bagdato, tamri, dates, mishachnon, they cause a person's body to become warm. Masban, they satiate. Mishalshon, they cause one to go to the bathroom. Ma'ashron, they make you strong. V'loy mefankman, they don't make you finicky. It's not like you have to have only good food. Amrav, ochel tamarim, if somebody ate dates, al yoyra. He's not allowed to paskin shayla. Because dates have this ability of intoxicating. Certainly the Rishonim say it's not the same as wine. And the Rishonim also say that if somebody's sitting on a Bezdin, and there are other members of the Bezdin, even though he ate dates, he could be a member. He shouldn't just pass him by himself. Meisvei has the Gemara, tomorrow, shakas for Arvis, one who eats dates in the morning and the evening, Yofa. But Mincha, but if he eats it in the afternoon, Ross. Why? Because they used to go to sleep in the afternoon. And they had to have, they didn't have bathrooms in the house. So if somebody's going to eat dates, he's going to have to use the bathroom, and it's not comfortable to have to, when he's trying to sleep, to have to walk out to the bathroom. But tzarayim, ain't kavaisam. Eating them lunchtime, it's great. Mevatlos shloisha dvarim, and they cause three things to be nullified. Mevatlos machshavara, bare thoughts, because a person who's happy, and as we just said, somebody who eats dates is happy, is not going to have bad thoughts. V'chol ma'ayim, it keeps the stomach healthy, the tachtonius, and it prevents hemorrhoids. So we see that they are good. Mi'amin d'loy ma'ala, so is it good or is it bad? Says the Moran, we didn't say it's not good. Elui ma'ala, however, if he shot the treaty, they're very good, just to be eaten the right time, to eat in a time where you're going to have to use the bathroom, and it's not convenient to go to the outhouse, then it's not good. Ibai same loy kasha. Eating dates before you ate a meal is not good. After you ate a meal, it's good. My mother, my nursemaid, told me, tamri, dates, before a meal, it's like stabbing. It's like a lock on a door, which is wonderful. So now the Gemara just continues with some more words. Dosha, what does a dosha mean? Rava derech sham. That's the doorway through which you enter a house. So I saw a very nice verse from the Ben Yoyada. The Ben Yoyada says the word dosha stands for three words. Dibur, shina, and achila. He says when a person is on the road, he naturally doesn't talk that much because he doesn't really feel so good from traveling. Especially in those days, they didn't have modern mode of transportation. Shina, when you're on the road, you don't sleep that much. And achila, when you travel on the road, you don't eat that much. Teaches us the Gemara. Dasha, even when you're home, dibur, shina, achila, don't talk too much, don't eat too much, and don't sleep too much. Darga, amarav, what does steps mean? Derech gag, through the step we reach the roof. Purya, purya is a bed. Amar papa, shaparim, v'rav, malah. On a bed, people have children. Through bed, have children. Aram Nachma Yitzchak Af Anan Neimer. We'll also say pshat in a word. What is an islandess? An islandess is the chronis. It's like a male deer, the layolda. As we learned so many times in Masechta Yevamos, an islandess is a woman who's unable to have children, just like a male deer is unable to have children.